sense of fatness before the presence of his glory and exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And we all say amen. 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 Go with God in peace.
To bless those that gave and those that did not have to give. We pray that these gifts will be used to glorify your kingdom here on earth. We ask that in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Amen. Amen and amen.
Amen. How thankful we are for the presence and for the faithfulness of this chancel choir. They are preparing the song of preparation, and following that, let us prepare our hearts to receive a message from God and through the person of Reverend Nicholas Williams. Let us pray for him. Let us pray with him. Let us bear witness to the truth of God's word with our amens.
Jesus is my rock.
Jesus is my rock.
Shall we pray? Our Father, we come this morning. We ask you that you would open up our hearts and our minds, that we would receive a word from you, a word that would change our thoughts, a word that would change our feelings, a word that would change all that we do. We thank you, God, for this opportunity. We thank you, God, for all that are here. We thank you, God. These and all the blessings we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We say amen, 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 and amen. To Second Baptists, I say it is now 1 minute after 12. Good afternoon. To my fellow co-laborers in the gospel, it is a great afternoon to preach the word of God. Amen. We want to thank this wonderful choir for what you have done this morning. To the officers of this church, thank you so much. There are a couple of things that I want to do. I will tell you that, one, I don't preach long, so you don't have to worry about being here till 1:30 or so. I will be through probably in about 20 minutes. Those of you that are hungry, you will be able to satisfy your appetites much quicker than what you thought. But there are a couple of things that I would like to do before I get started. And first, I wanted to just recognize a couple of people. One, Sister Helen Embry, glad to see you here in good health. Glad to see you. Secondly, I need to present to some, introduce to some, someone that fills my life. I need to introduce to you my girlfriend of 41 years and my wife of 38 years, the Reverend Eunice I. Williams. She is a licensed ordained Baptist minister, and I would have her stand. Now, there are some people who are trying to scratch their head, and so I will explain it to you, that we were together for 3 years before we got married. And so that's why she's been my girlfriend for 41 years and my wife for 38. All that you see me on me right now, she was the one that advised me what to get and what to wear. I also wanted to point out, it is so nice to see one family together such as this. We need to see that. The last thing that I'm going to do, and then we will get started, is I learned a long time ago that in Baptist churches, it's always nice to open up your sermon with a song, and I like to open up singing a cappella. In country terms, that is, without music. And so if y'all will help me, we're going to sing a cappella, a couple of verses, and then we'll get on. Are you ready? Amen. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in mine ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfectly. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you once more. Thank you for allowing me to be here. Open up my heart, my mind, Lord. Let me not speak except that the Spirit speak through me. These and all the blessings we ask in thy name and for thy name's sake. Amen, amen, and amen. As I said, I won't be long. I would ask you to open up your Bibles to John, the fourth chapter. John, the fourth chapter. John, the fourth chapter. You need a Bible because obviously this, we began yesterday at 4:30. John, the fourth chapter. Verse number 4. We're going to start at verse 4. We're going to start at verse 4. When you have that, say amen. Amen. And so John, the fourth chapter, starting with verse 4, I'm going to read from NIV. It reads thusly. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For the Jews do not associate with Samaritans." And so we're going to take for a sermon topic, a close encounter with Jesus. A close encounter with Jesus. Any encounter with Jesus will change things. The situation here states that Jesus, on his trip, went against Jewish tradition of hatred. Rather than go around the area of Samaria to get to his destination, the scriptures tell us that he went through it. Yet still, Jesus goes against social norms again as he speaks to a stranger, a woman who is a Samaritan with a very shady past. His request for a drink from the stranger brings about a close personal encounter that will not only change this woman's attitude, but also a whole town's attitude will change because of this one-on-one encounter with the Son of God. Let us see what the gospel writer John tells us about this encounter. Jesus asks in verse 7, "Will you give me a drink?" On the surface, Jesus' question is quite simplistic. But further examination of the question reveals that Jesus is asking if this Samaritan woman, a strange person who does not know him but knows his ethnicity, will set aside social prejudice to give him a drink of water. Think about this from this standpoint today. How many of you will not set aside a social prejudice to give somebody a drink that does not look like you or speak like you? The woman instead asked how a Jew can ask a Samaritan for a drink of water. One would expect after that statement that the reply would be, "Forget it then. I'll wait until my disciples get back." But the Son of Man gives a reply that only would come from one with a true heart of love. Jesus answers in verse 10, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Jesus knows that the woman has no idea who he really is. Right now, she knows that a Hebrew has asked a strange woman for a drink of water. With his statement to the Samaritan woman, Jesus has opened the door to a conversation that will change this woman's heart towards Hebrews in general and Jesus specifically. The woman asks in verse 11, "Where can I get this living water?" She knows that Jesus is talking about a different type of water that can't be obtained from Jacob's well. The second question she asks will be considered contentious by many, because she wants to know if Jesus is greater than Jacob. You and I know the answer is yes. Pay close attention to how Jesus answers her question in verse 13. Jesus says, "Everyone who drinks this water from Jacob's well will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst." Jesus unquestionably says he has water to give like no other water in this world. Let me take you back to verse 10 to clarify the spiritual water that Jesus has to give must be asked for. Must be asked for. There's a further explanation from Jesus. "Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Spiritual water won't stop flowing as long as you desire a change in heart and a change in how you treat your fellow man. The Samaritan woman then attempts to achieve a dual purpose for the spiritual water that Jesus offers. She asks, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." This brings home the point that we sometimes ask Jesus to relieve us of all physical labor, but in fact, we should be asking for strength to continue our physical labor until we're called home to enjoy eternal rest. In other words, what we take a look at is a lot of times we want rest. We don't want to do any work, but we want God to bless us continuously while we just sit under the shade and drink lemonade. But that is not the case. That is not the case. We have to do something. As we continue to read the verses in chapter 4 of John, we see that Jesus brings a moment of truth and an opportunity for confession. Jesus tells her to go home and get her husband. She says, "I don't have a husband." He says, "You're telling the truth." He reveals to her that she's had many husbands and is now living with a man she is not married to. Do you see what happened due to this close encounter? The woman could have lied, but she didn't. Her willingness to acknowledge that what Jesus said was the truth about her leads to a change. Jesus states something in verse 22 that just can't be ignored. Verse 24, "God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth." In other words, we can't see God, but he sees us, and he knows the truth about us. Understand that when we hide in the dark, we think that God can't see. He sees everything, in the light and in the dark. Maybe your neighbor doesn't know, but God knows. A close encounter with Jesus will make you confess your sins to him and honestly ask for forgiveness. Now, let me clarify this. Notice what we're saying. A close encounter with Jesus will make you confess your sins to him and honestly ask for forgiveness. Not necessarily confess your sins to your neighbor. Not necessarily confess your sins to anybody. Not necessarily go on Dr. Phil's show. But you understand you need to confess your sins to Jesus Christ and acknowledge honestly, I am a sinner, and without thy grace and thy forgiveness, I cannot be saved. Jesus reveals his heavenly identity as the Messiah in verse 26. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Here is a woman who in that day's society standards shouldn't even be talking to a strange Hebrew man who comes away with an experience that changes her very life. She has met and spoken to the true Messiah. This Samaritan woman is so filled with knowledge and joy after this close encounter with the Messiah that she leaves her water and goes to tell others. She says in verse 29, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? When you have had a close, personal encounter with Jesus, did you want to tell others or keep it to yourself? I submit to you that if you really met Jesus one-on-one, you can't keep that experience to yourself. You're going to tell somebody that I met Jesus and I've changed. You're going to declare it to the top of the roofs. You have to tell someone. This woman's testimony to others brings others out to the well to see and speak to Jesus and hear what he has to say. Ah, there is such a heartfelt, true acceptance of Jesus that the town's inhabitants ask him to stay for a while. Jesus stays for 2 days. But look at the end of this segment of verses. Here's the result of an up-close personal encounter with Jesus. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. And because of his words, that is Jesus' words, many more became believers. But now we also hear another admission that gives support to the fact that everyone must accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior based on individual experience. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Verse 42, you can be told over and over about Jesus, but you must hear him calling you specifically to truly believe on Jesus. You must hear him calling you to specifically truly believe on Jesus. What better way to end this message than to speak about some other close personal encounters with Jesus? Early on a Friday morning, there was a personal close encounter with Jesus as he stretched and nailed to a cross, risen up in front of a mocking crowd. The gospel writers tell us that Jesus said, Father, forgive them because they know not what they do. Then there is a close personal encounter with a thief and the promise of eternal life given to a condemned man. But then, as our Lord and Savior gives up the ghost and is taken down from the cross, he will have a close personal encounter with death and the grave. The rock of ages is placed in a rock that is sealed with a rock. Death and the grave are gleeful because they have the Son of God. Death and the grave think they have won the battle because Friday night, Jesus is still sealed in the tomb. On Saturday morning, death and the grave said, we still got him. Even more jubilation from death and the grave because the Son of God is still in the tomb. But early on Sunday morning, very early on Sunday morning, Jesus got up, folded up the clothes of death, walked through the rock, and he said, all power is in my hands. Even though death and the grave thought they had him, they did not have him. He conquered death and the grave in one stroke. Well, now, let me ask you again. Are you ready for a close encounter with Jesus? Or better yet, Have you told someone about your close encounter with Jesus?
Yeah.
Somebody is waiting to listen to hear what you have to say about what Jesus saved you, how he saved you. And if you speak to somebody, there's somebody right now waiting to hear from you. What about your close encounter with Jesus? Has he changed you? Has your heart changed? Has your word changed? Has your action changed? Are you ready for Jesus? Are you ready for another close encounter with the Son of God? I'm here to tell you that without that, you cannot get to heaven. You must have a close encounter. Unto God I give glory, honor, and praise for all that he has done for me all these days. Somebody give him glory and honor and praise. Somebody shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for another day, for another close encounter, for another time to talk with you, walk with you, hear you speak to me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. To God be the glory forever and ever. And we all said amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody stand up and shout hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We come to this time when the doors of the church open. The church is standing. We offer the invitation that you might come. You might come based on your Christian experience. You might come as a candidate for baptism. You might come on a letter of recommendation. It does not matter how you come. This is the invitation to come. The choir is singing. Won't you come?
There's a storm out on the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
And it's moving.
Won't you come?
This old way.
Come on. Won't you come?
If your soul's not.
Hallelujah.
Anchored in Jesus.
Won't you come?
You will surely.
Won't you come?
Drift away.
There's a storm.
Won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come? Jesus is calling. He's calling. He's calling. Won't you come?
There's a storm out on life's ocean.
Won't you come?
And it's moving this old way. Your soul's not.
Won't you come?
Anchored in Jesus.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Come on, brother.
Surely.
Yeah, yeah.
Drift away.
Won't you come? Won't you come?
There's a storm on the ocean.
Come on, come on.
And
come on.
It's okay.
Yeah, yeah. Jesus is still calling. Won't you come?
You will surely.
Won't you come?
Drift away. If your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you will surely drift away.
Yeah, yeah, yes.
door still open?
Of the ocean and its moving, it's already.
Won't you come, won't you come? Your desires are awful. And majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. And we all said amen. 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 Amen and amen. Go with God in peace.